In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I never truly understood the concept of the wrath of God until I was a parent. Then I got it in a very visceral way. It is that maddening feeling where you're watching these little creatures that you love so much doing things that make you crazy, that make no sense whatsoever, and you look at them and this is crazy. This doesn't make sense, and you have very little control over it. And then you correct them, you discipline them, and then sometimes they get sent into timeout, right? And in the case of Israel, they got sent into exile in Babylon, right? So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit, is this reading from Amos. It is the Old Testament lesson that we have today. This prophet Amos, who was he, first off? Well, we don't really know. There's not a lot of information, biographical information in there about who Amos the prophet was. But that's okay. That is to be expected. In Jewish literature, the prophets, we never know very much about them. We never know very much biographical information about them because that's sort of the point. It's not about them. It's about the message. What little information we do have is in verse 1 of the book of Amos. It says that he was a shepherd. He was from the region of Tekoa, which was actually in the southern kingdom. He lived during the time when the kingdom of Israel, the nation of Israel, had actually split apart into two kingdoms, the northern and southern kingdom. He lived in the southern kingdom, but God called him to prophesy in the northern kingdom to the king Jeroboam. And so he had to travel up there. We know that he was not a professional prophet. He was not a professional seer. They were looked at with some disdain. These were the people who you could pay and they would, you know, sort of read your palm and say, oh, you have, you know, a long love life, or, you know, those kinds of things. You would pay them to give you a good fortune telling, that kind of thing. He was not one of those. He makes that very, very clear. We also know from today's reading that he was a herdsman, and he was a dresser of sycamore trees. What's that? So, a dresser of sycamore trees. First off, the sycamore tree that they're talking about in this is not the American or European version of the sycamore tree, like what you think about when you think of a sycamore tree. It's more like a fig tree. But the fruit that comes off of it is much smaller. It's not as good as a fig, and so it was eaten largely by the poor. So when people who would grow this crop, they would have to take the branches and they would tie them off close to where the fig was, or the little fruit, to make it ripen faster so that wasps wouldn't eat it. And that's what a dresser of sycamore trees did. So there you go. Who knew, right? Now you have a little tidbit to throw out at your next dinner party. Has nothing to do with the message today. I just thought it was interesting. So there you go. The other thing that you need to know about this time of Amos was that this was a very, very prosperous time in the nation of Israel. They had gone through many, many wars and hardships, but this was a time of relative peace, and so they had had a chance to build up a lot of wealth. But what God caused Amos to see was this vast economic divide where the wealthy in Israel not only didn't care for the poor, they actually used their laws and institutions to marginalize and oppress the poor. Amos saw lavish feasts and festivals that were ostensibly, supposedly, to be glorifying God, but in fact, they were celebrating themselves and their nation's prosperity. The leaders were corrupt, and the line between faith to God and faith in country and king were all but gone. And so that was the world of Amos. What we hear today in the reading about the plumb line, this was the third of three visions that were given to him in a row. We don't hear about those in today's readings, but it was just right before it. The first was in this vision, God sent a swarm of locusts to completely overtake the land. And in the second, God sent a fire that was so profound and so hot that it dried up all the waters of the earth, underground, all of the oceans. Amos reached out to God and cried out to God on behalf of the people of Israel and said, "This is too hard." And what he said, he appealed to God as a parent and said, "No, Jacob is too small and too weak. He can't handle that." Jacob, meaning referring to as Israel. So God relented and said, "Okay, but here's the thing. There, I am drawing a plumb line. This is like sort of like a line in the sand. I am drawing a line. This behavior must stop. This behavior, this lavish wantonness of Israel and completely forgetting about our covenant, our relationship is broken. And unless they turn around, bad things are going to happen." God caused Amos to preach and say, "If you want a strong nation, Israel, you have to care for the weakest among you." He said, "Israel, you are not doing this, and Israel will fall." So this was the message that Amos was sent. So then you have Amaziah. He was the priest that we hear about in this lesson. Now, he would have been one of those priests who was leading these lavish festivals. So he probably didn't really like Amos's message, right? And so he condemns him publicly and says, "Get out. Israel, this is too hard a message. Israel can't handle the truth." Interestingly, he didn't deny it. He just said, "We can't handle it. You go elsewhere, you seer." Like, so he was condemning him like he was one of those soothsayer kind of things. "You go earn your bread elsewhere." And so he condemned him and told him to leave. We as Christians are called together every week to come together in community and worship together. We do that for a myriad of reasons, but one of the most important reasons that we are called to come together every single week is it is a time when we can pause in our life and look honestly at ourselves and where we have fallen short. It is why we say the confession every single week. It is a time when we can open ourselves to the light of God to shine in those dark places that we would really rather not think about. The dark things that we have thought, said, done, and left undone. It's a time when we can ask ourselves and examine the truth more bravely than Amaziah was able to. When we can say, "When have I, like Israel, thought that my prosperity and wealth made me special? When have I, like Israel, put my country over my God? When have I, like Israel, turned a blind eye to those in need? And when have I, like Israel, put my trust in someone or something other than God?" Most of you know this past week, we just finished up our last of three camps, Reaching Out to the Community, ROTC. This week we had our elementary kids, and ooh, they were rambunctious. It was such a good time. It was so much fun. They worked so hard. If you're not familiar with it, every morning we would go out and work at an organization in the community. So we were at food banks and homeless shelters, and they would work and volunteer all morning long. And then in the afternoon, we would go to the movies or go swimming or something like that. There was one kid that he would just push my buttons every single day. And he was so smart. When we would sit, like during our lunchtime, we would show films and we would sort of have conversations about generosity and giving and why we're doing what we're doing and those kinds of things. And he would always have these great insights. But then we would go back out and, oh my gosh, he would just... like, it's a flower bed. You don't run in the flower bed. Oh, come on, man. I mean, it was like constantly, and I felt like I was constantly having to ride him every single moment. That was our entire relationship, was me getting on him, right? And I felt so bad about it, but that... So then at the end of the week, I'm addressing the kids, and I'm telling them what a great job they did and thanking them for how hard they worked. I told them how many volunteer hours they did for the week and all of that stuff. And as I'm up there talking, suddenly he comes up and he grabs me and he just gives me a big hug. And that relationship was mended. And that is the story of God's people. It's what we do. We screw up over and over and over again. And then we turn back and we are embraced and that relationship is mended. We sin. You sin. You are a sinner. And so am I. And we are called week after week by the words of Amos, by the prophets, by Scripture, by Jesus Christ himself. We are called every day to make straight that path by being honest with ourselves and with our God about our own sinfulness. And then we turn and we repent and we accept that forgiveness and we accept that mended relationship. I think that God often has that wrathful, frustrated, maddening anger that comes from loving us so much and watching us hurt ourselves and each other. God saying, "This makes no sense. Why are you doing this?" But that's what confession is for. Merciful God, we have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. And then God forgives us so that we may delight in his will and walk in his ways, and by doing so, glorify his name. And that is the message of Amos. We love God by loving our neighbor. And when we fall short, we confess and we repent and we return to the arms of God, our loving and patient parent. Amen.